Lecture 14. The world is my reflection, and I am alert and aware by what I see where I stand, utilizing meditation in my life. Lecture 14. The world is my reflection, and I am alert and aware by what I see where I stand, utilizing meditation in my life. All of us think that we are pretty smart. We think that we're pretty good, but we don't realize that whatever we see reflected in our world is who and what we are. And we can't get away from it. We can't escape it. It's what we're doing. So what we want to do is to be alert and aware by what I see, where I stand, utilizing meditation in my life. So how do I make my life be more beautiful, more fulfilling, more wonderful than it has been? And I do that by using the principle. So how do I use the reflection that I see as an indication of where I am? I look at the world and I see it happy or peaceful, or I see it sad or otherwise. And how do I do something about it to take that information that the reflection gives me and decide what I'm going to do with my life? Now, do I want to have a life that's filled with busy, 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 busy in the world around me, and have life be so active and so busy because all these people are rushing into their jobs and rushing to their activities, and they're rushing to the kids to school, and they're rushing to everything in life? Do I want to be rushing off to the store to buy things and rushing off to the pharmacy to get this and that? Do I always want to be rushing, rushing, rushing? If I want to be rushing, 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 then is that the kind of life I want to live? Or do I want to live a peaceful, balanced, moderately balanced life where I'm not rushing all the time, where I'm going not fast or slow, but just going at a nice, easy pace? Have you ever watched people play golf?
Yes.
And some people play very powerfully and very dignifiedly, and they don't play well and they don't have fun. They're out there proving themselves to themselves. And then other people just take the ball and whack it to where they want it to go and just have fun. And they're talking their heads off and they're sharing. And they're breathing in the wonderful air of the golf course, you know, and they're breathing in the happiness and the talking. They say, come on, let's hurry up. Let's get to the 18th hole. And Shilma, what do they want to get to the 18th hole for?
Because that's where all the fun is.
What?
That's where all the fun is.
That's where all the fun is. That's right. That's where all the fun is. That's where you get your cocktails. That's where you get your sandwiches. That's where you sit down and talk. Not with a golf course in front of you, but behind you. And you all just, you know how fishermen describe their fish so big, you know? And well, the golf pros, they say, oh, I had this putt this so long and so long, and I got here, and you know, describing it by hand motions. And it's all way out, you know, far from the truth. And that's why they don't allow caddies in the clubhouse. A caddy is someone who carries your clubs and marks down what scores you're getting and the number of strokes you're taking. And you tell your caddy, now don't mark that one down, don't mark that one down, don't mark that. And the caddy says, oh boy, oh boy, this guy's not honest. And he wants me to be dishonest with him. So I don't want to go in the clubhouse to back him up with his dishonesty. But this is the games that they play. Now, even there, it should just be fun. It should just be a joy. It's something to be a happy time together, you know. But they got to take their flask of whiskey along on the golf course, you know, and have it in their back pocket or something. And they got to have their drinks at the cocktail lounge at the course. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is that what it's all about? Is that what it's all about? Sitting at the bar before you get home in the evening, you know, and visiting with other friends. What is life all about? What happens when you drink? Tell me.
You get drunk.
No, that's true. But you cloud your mind. You don't always get drunk. You know, you act like it, but you don't always get drunk. But you cloud your mind, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you cloud your mind. Now, you get drunk, true. And what happens when you get drunk? You have a clouded mind.
You lose your mind.
Yeah, a pickled mind. And if you are a sincerely honest man and you're drunk, you'll be an honest drunk. If you are not an honest man and you're drunk, you'll be not an honest drunk. Yeah. And if you are a happy man and you're drunk, you'll be a happy drunk. And if you're not a happy man and you're drunk, you'll be an unhappy man. It's just what it does, it just further exacerbates whatever character is the truth about you and brings that out. It's a shame. But maybe it's not a shame. It's just the way it is. So, what is it that we want? The world is our reflection. And so, if you're going to go on the golf course and rush, and if you're going to say, we don't talk on the golf course, well, that's what the golf course is all about, is for talking and sharing. When you start to make it a putter or making use your club, then quiet. Okay, now I want to concentrate here. Here, I want to concentrate now, you know. And then, okay, now you can talk. I've done my putt, you know. But they keep that up. They try to be so dogmatic with their attitude about the golf course that you can only do certain things. You can do anything you want. Oh, and wearing clothing, you have to have only the best clothing to go playing golf. To play golf, you got to have special shorts that are sold in the golf shop, in the pro shop. You have the special shoes, and you have to have spikes that come out of your shoes to keep you from doing what? I don't know. But the thing is, why do people do that? They want to play the game. And when they play the... Yeah?
They want to be part of the game.
Go ahead.
They want to be part of the game.
They want to be...
Part of the game.
Part of the game. Yeah. They want to be part of the... They want to be part of the game, and they want to do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. They want to be part of the crowd. And have you ever seen the winner? Think of what professional golf is today, truly. Professional golf is top players, the professional top golfers who get the best scores. What's the first thing they do? They get a hat. A crazy, colorful hat, which doesn't suit them at all and doesn't suit anything. It's just to be different. Then they get shorts, and they get them to be strange-looking shorts, you know, strange coloring and pattern. And then they have shirts. Some you stick in, some you stick out, some you do whatever, you know. And then shoes. Sometimes some of these golfers even take two shoes of each color, you know, one shoe of each color. And they're wearing these, and socks. Oh, my goodness, the games they play. Well, now, you think, what is this ragamuffin I'm with here? And it cost a pretty penny to put that clothes on him, you know. But what are they doing?
Showing off.
But they're showing off their stupidity. Now, why don't they know they're showing off their stupidity? Because it's that reflection you see. You look at that and you say, oh, my God. You know, that's what they want you to say, oh, my God. They don't want you to say, no, I didn't notice what he was wearing. I had no idea what he's wearing. I had no idea what clothing he had, what shoes or anything. And if you say that about a person who dressed like a clown, then he won't have accomplished what he wanted. Now, what sort of reflection is that? What sort of reflection is it that a person who goes out and dresses strangely on the golf course but wouldn't be seen on a city street like that? It's true. And people who go to Hawaii, what do? They buy Hawaiian shirts. Brilliant colors, garish in every way, oversized and everything. And then they come back home and they wear it. I've been in Hawaii. But that's not what the Hawaiians wear. The Hawaiians are very traditional type people. They're very ordinary people. They might wear a skirt thing, you know. But other than that, they don't wear anything special. You know, it's quite common. And who started that out? The tourist association.
Yeah.
They put a lei on everybody. And a lei is one of these colorful necklaces of flowers. Yeah. And that's supposed to say helloa, aloha. And they teach you their silly song. And so when you come back from Hawaii, you parade this in front of your friends to show you've been to Hawaii. And your friends think, well, is that all you saw in Hawaii? We could go down to the Hawaiian bar down here in Los Angeles and they've got the same thing, you know. You can experience that same thing. You don't have to go all the way to Hawaii. And it costs you a lot less. And you could go home laughing. But why do we do these things? Why do we put on a reflection of ourself that we wouldn't really want to do? But we do put it on. We put it on because we haven't found out who we are. We haven't decided who we are, what is important to us, what our values are. We just haven't found that out. And so we go about giving a poor reflection. And that poor reflection is saying what about us? It's saying we are unstable. We are unsure of ourselves. We are not someone to be depended upon to do something. We're not somebody that you would ask to... Would you go and you have a dozen men here, and most of them are in business suits, and a bunch of them are wearing casual clothing. Would you go to the casual clothes people to ask them to do some business for you? You'd ask the person in the business suit. I mean, even though you might not wear a business suit yourself, you'd ask the person in the business suit to do it because they represent the function that you want them to do. They represent the function of business. And that's hard, because how can you go and have fun and wear business suits? Well, they do it. They do it. It reminds me of the IBM people, that's the International Business Machine people. They required their salespeople at all times to have a white shirt, tie, coat, and a proper suit, and shine shoes and everything. And then they taught them how to THUMK. They taught them how to properly think, even if they saw it misspelled. They put up the word thump, THUMK, and then they said, whoops, yep, I've got to keep my mind alert, yep. I cannot be lollygagging around here. I've got to be paying attention, because business, business, business. And, of course, IBM came one of the greatest industrial business machine companies of the world. And how did they do it? Not because of that, but because of all the other little things they did to it. Their business machines were carefully crafted and carefully built and carefully presented, and they had good contracts and they had good everything. You see, they represented themselves in that picture, how they looked as being responsible, as being someone beautiful and good. But they did get a little stodgy when these stupid kids came along and created Google and stuff like that, and Apple came along with their black shirts and black Levi's, you know, and no ties, no coats, no nothing, you know, just casual. But that was a dress code, the black shirt, that is the black over T-shirt and the trousers, the Levi's. That was a dress shirt. That was a representation of Apple, you know. And then other companies had representations of themselves. And so you have to know what it is that you're reflecting out there. But our question is, my reflection. The world is my reflection. What is your reflection, and how are you going to let that be mediated through your meditation? How do you let your reflection be mediated through your meditation? How do you let your reflection represent who you are? Now, do you always have to dress up? Now, if I were to wear a shirt and tie and suit here and present things to you, you'd say, well, that's nice, a little overkill for this casual arrangement here, a little overkill. But that's your choice. Now, I say, if I were to stand up naked before a group of people, after about a minute or so, nobody would notice me. They wouldn't pay any attention to it because it'd just be the most natural thing in the world. Because I have what? I have charisma. I am myself. I like myself. And I don't go out presenting myself under any false colors. I always present myself under exactly who I am and tell the world exactly who I am and face them front up, you know. No misunderstanding whatsoever. And people say, oh, gee, that's wonderful. You know, it's nice that we can have confidence in you. Nice that we can believe in you. Now, that is a meditation management. That is meditation management. When you are yourself, whoever it may be. Now, would you say that Sybil dresses nicely?
Yes.
Of course you would. You're her daughter. Mm-hmm. But would you say Sybil dresses nicely?
Yes.
And why do you say she dresses nicely?
Does she dress
satirically? Does she dress with great, what sort of words you want to use for that? Does she dress with great imagination and great pride and so forth? Or does she dress with quality?
Quality.
She dresses with quality. Mm-hmm. She's not putting on a fashion show when she goes anyplace, but she is quality. She dresses, if I may say this without having you all get angry at me, she dresses like the Queen of England. Proper for every occasion. Never overkill. The Queen never wears too much or too little. She always wears just the right amount of clothing that represent the quality person she is. And Sybil does that, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Now, Chrissy, she is more casual. Chrissy is my type of girl. We're the casual type, at least I think we are.
Yes.
And we're happy.
Yes.
We do our own thing now. But if we had the attitude and the mental attitude, I guess that's the word, that Sybil has, we would be happy wearing what she's wearing. But because what she's wearing is a little more pizzazz, a little more class than we normally project for ourselves, we would not feel comfortable in. And so we could never wear it. Everyone can't wear what Sybil wears. But she wears what she wears because she is a woman of class. She is a woman of nobility. She is a woman of genius. We can go on. Would you mind?
No.
And that's beautiful. But no, each one of us represent ourselves by who we are. Now, Chioma, when she goes to a dance, you wouldn't recognize her. You wouldn't realize that she was the mother of Ibube because she is dressed out to the nine to fit the occasion of the dance, the kind of dance it is, the kind of activities that are going on there. She is in perfect good taste. Now, how could she afford to be in perfect good taste and raise a son, you know, and have a home, and have this, and have that? It's easy. She doesn't buy a lot, but she buys quality. Her closet is full, but only with quality. And when anything does not belong to her anymore, is not her thing anymore, she gives it away to a friend who is their thing. Right?
Yeah.
And she knows friends who are ready to grab onto anything that she has to give away because they know her taste is like her mom's, you know, first drawer. And Chrissy, our taste is first drawer too. Don't ever forget that. I'm in no way putting us down. But what reflection do we give out, Chrissy? What reflection do you give out when you go to the hospital and you wear your uniform? What reflection do you give out?
Ideal, Christy.
I'm sorry?
Ideal,
oh, yeah,
ideal. Christy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's nice. Now, but what reflection do you give out in the eyes of the people? Do they think you're an ideal nurse? No. They think that you are a nurse who knows her business and is intelligent and wise, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you were an ideal nurse, you would not be acting like you act. You walk around like this, more than like this. It's just a little movement of the chin from straight out to down. And you have a tendency to walk around with your chin down just a little bit, which gives people the feeling that you're not quite sure of yourself. Are you sure of yourself?
Definitely.
Okay. Well, then walk with a little more pride, shoulders back a little bit, tummy in, you know, and just walk as though you are a professional, not as though you're the janitor or sweeper. In fact, the janitors or sweepers today, they walk like professionals. And they earn money like professionals, too, because they're good at their trade. But now you too. No. What sort of reflection are you giving to the people in the hospital? Are you giving to the patients? Are you giving to your staff? Are you giving to the upper level? What attitude are you giving them? Do they think you are the one to do these things? You are talented, capable. What do your supervisors act like when they walk around? Do they walk around with their chin down? Seriously. I can't hear you.
They cry.
That's what with their chins down?
They cry.
Oh, they cry. Oh, cry. Why do they cry?
Because they are not sure of themselves.
Oh! Hey, Christy, that's the time for you to walk around with your shoulders back and chin out, because you're their replacement. You're their replacement. If they feel unsure, you can be sure that they will not feel unsure very long. They'll be put out to pasture, and you'll be put in. Christy, that's not a joke. Yeah.
I know.
That's right. But it's just, can you handle anything?
Yes.
Okay, then act like it. And this acting like it, it's fantastic. It's not wearing clothes like Sibyl wears. That won't help you. Because they think that you look better in tennis shorts, you know. Would you? Yeah. You have a strong body build. You'd look good in sporting clothes very well. Yeah. But now, do you look good in a nurse?
Yes.
How do you look in a nurse's outfit? I can't hear you.
Elegant.
Evident.
Elegant.
Elegant. Oh, that's better. Elegant. Oh, that's wonderful. Elegant. Yes. You look elegant. Now, who says it? You. Do others say it?
Yes.
Well, that you can say too. How many others say that? All?
Everybody.
Okay. All others look at you just the way you look at yourself. But if you have your chin down and your shoulders down, you know, and your tummy in, out, or whatever, it just doesn't match. I tell Ingeborg, I say, Ingeborg, shoulders back, chin up, you know, chest out, show those breasts of yours off, you know. She get out there and act like a dandy lady. And so she does that for a moment, you know. And she looks great. I said, now keep it up, you know. And there are many times she'll come walking into the living room or into the dining room, and she'll forget that she's supposed to be acting not so good. And so she's walking in there just as bustly, as happy as she can be, and I say, Ingeborg, you're super! And then she'll bend over and remember that that's not the show she wanted to put on, because she wanted people to feel sorry for her. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do for yourself, Christy?
Be myself and have fun.
No. I'm pulling your leg. You cannot be anything. Ich bin. German for I am.
I am.
Ich bin. I am. Now, what do you want to be?
I am.
You am what?
I am who I am.
Who is it that you am that you are?
I am myself.
Yeah.
And I'm having fun.
Now look, these are a lot of platitudes. They're great. They're wonderful. They're good for you to have in your consciousness. But when I ask you questions, you could answer it like this. I say, Chrissy, who are you? And you say, oh, I'm the head nurse at the hospital. Chrissy, who are you? Well, I'm one of the more beautiful nurses of the world. I think if they ever had a contest and I was allowed to enter, I would take first place. Chrissy, and on. Not that you're going to be, not that you wish you could be. Chrissy, who is the highest paid employee in your hospital?
I am.
Now, you're saying it tongue in cheek. Yeah, and your smile goes along with it. Now, Chrissy, who is the highest paid employee in the hospital?
Myself.
All you got to do is say to me, Herb, the highest paid employee of the hospital is the managing nurse, and I am the managing nurse. Now, is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? And is that true?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you see? Now, can you say that a lot easier than I am? Yeah. So, think in terms of the world in which you're living, the world in which you're talking about. Now, if you're going to live only in absolute, which is all right, then what would you say? I am that I am that I am. It's done. Nothing more to do. Which is very good. Are you?
I am. Yes, I am.
You're just you am?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I agree. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And where I'm coming from? Yes. And I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just saying, think of using those terms. Now, your Ibube comes up to you and is very unkind. And he's doing some dumb stuff. He has his off moment. And so you say, you stupid kid, you're dumb, you're not. And what's he going to do? He'll be stupider. He'll be dumber. He'll be badder. But instead of that, you say, Ibube, who am I? And he says, you're my aunt. You're my auntie. And you say, that's right. And what does an auntie do? Well, an auntie accepts her child, what do you call it, nephew, niece, her nephew, just like he is. It's fantastic and beautiful and good and perfect. Yeah, well, you know, that's true. Well, why don't you accept me that way? Well, Ibube, I only know what you want me to know. And if you want me to know you're a good boy, then you act like a good boy and I'll treat you like a good boy. If you want me to know you're a bad boy, you act like a bad boy and I'll treat you like a bad boy. But I don't want to treat you like a bad boy because I don't like to do what I do to bad boys. And what do you do to bad boys? I take a stick and I whack them. Well, I'm not interested in having you do that. Well, then don't be a bad boy. Just be a good boy. Then I'll always, you know, treat you like a good boy. And you talk like that and you never have to manhandle them. You never have to do anything tough about them. You understand?
Yes.
But you see, you are what? You are the boss. You're the chef. You're the master. You're the mother. You're the father. You're the whatever. You're the one who makes the rules, and you're the one who requires the rule to be played. You're the one who makes the rules so exciting that the kids can't wait to have an opportunity to live them. You know?
Yes.
Well, that's what it's all about.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
And so it is.
Go ahead. So she what?
And so it is.
Oh, yes. And wouldn't you say? And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is, yeah. Super. Okay, now. Let's see if we have any other aspect to this here. I see where I stand utilizing meditation in my life. Okay? Now, how do you see meditation standing where you are, Chioma? It's a generalized thing, you know.
Yeah, it's happening around me. It's happening around me already.
No. I don't want you to think and say that. I want you to say, it's happening in me right now. It's happening through my life right now, as in everything I do right now. But if it's around you, then that doesn't necessarily mean that your life is good. You may be having a mess, and outside everything is kind of nice, you know. But in you, yeah. Now, how would you handle something like that that's going on in you, and good stuff?
Enjoy it.
You'd encourage it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd encourage it to be more. Now, how would you encourage it to be more?
Keep doing what I'm doing. Keep meditating.
Being yourself.
Yeah.
Being yourself. And when you're being yourself there and having fun and encouraging it, what happens?
It is.
Everything works out.
Yeah.
Now, today is Ibu Bay's birthday. You may have noticed that. And you go into Ibu Bay and he's playing with his toy there. And you stop him for a minute to do something. He doesn't care. He says, "Hi, hi, dear mommy. Oh, mom." He is so happy. Now, tomorrow or a week from now, you may try to do that, and it won't work the same way. And the reason it doesn't work the same way is not Ibu Bay. It's your attitude.
Yeah.
And your attitude is what has messed you up or made it all great.
Yeah.
So now, how can you change it to bring your attitude back into perfect form?
Recreate
your
thoughts.
Put in a whole new programming.
Yes.
How wonderful. Now, is that hard?
No.
But it is definite.
Yeah.
Can you see how that's definite?
Yes, done.
And can you see how, if she doesn't do it, she'll pay the price?
Yes.
What's the price she'll pay? An unhappy life.
Yes.
If she doesn't take charge of her life and say it's good and very good, then she'll pay the price of an unhappy life. Because she'll start looking at things, then nothing's working out for me, nothing is going my way, nothing is doing it. And when you say that, then more and more it doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
Now, what have I said about Shioma ever since I first met her? You can answer it too if you want.
I am myself and I have fun.
Yeah.
All the time. Shioma
is an independent woman who is doing her own thing. She knows what her values are in life and she stands up for them and she's proud of herself. Did that cover it pretty well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's not that she's trying to put on a show for anybody else. Because she doesn't care. Even her girlfriends come over and want her to put on a show, and she just is herself. And they say, "Well, that's the show we want. That's the show we want. We want you to be yourself and have fun, because that's what we admire. And that's why we're changing our way of living, because you have shown us a better way." See?
True.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Yesterday, huh?
It is true.
Now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful when we take the reflection of our life and instead of using it as something terrible, just use it as something beautiful that says, everything is good, everything is fine. And then it is. It really is. You all live perfect, beautiful lives because you have all put beautiful causes in motion. Now, do you like beautiful causes?
Yes.
Yeah? You think that's great?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
Divine order all the way.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, well, we've done very well here. How have we done on our time on this here? That's good. Nice. Almost 45 minutes. You know. So that's good. Okay. Then we are all set on that. Lecture 14, the world is my reflection, and I am alert and aware by what I see, where I stand, utilizing meditation in my life. See, we brought it in, each one of these little things, in a subtle, gentle way. And as we bring these things in a subtle, gentle way, then we are allowing ourselves to just be so happy about that. So gentle and complete. Okay, thank you.